Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. And with me today, I have a big panel, at least big for TDO. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm actually pondering and thankful that we don't call this the TMO Weekly Observations, because audibly that sounds a lot like weekly, and that would be potentially bad. So I'm good. I'm happy that we're daily.
I'm happy too. Yeah. John Martellaro, how are you, John?
I'm good. Good morning.
Awesome. And Brian Chaffin, how are you, Brian?
Well, maybe my back hurts. My knees have been aching a little bit. It's raining, so my joints are just terrible.
I have someone for you to call. Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm fine.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln?
Oh, I love that joke. Okay. So... all of us are here today, as opposed to just a couple of us, because we ended up having a rather lively discussion during our morning meeting about the whole thing with smartwatches, the Apple Watch, Tag Heuer getting into the market, and it was just so much fun that we decided to let this spill over into TDO today. And so the backstory is, Brian, you wrote an article yesterday about how the watchmaker Tag Heuer has decided that they're going to get into the smartwatch market.
Yeah, which wasn't it wasn't exactly news. Jean-Claude Biver, who is the head watch guy at LVMH, the luxury umbrella corporation, said back in September that they were going to do a smartwatch. What was news yesterday is that they are looking at – they have active partnerships going with technology companies. And they wouldn't name names, but probably Intel is at least one of them. And they are considering acquisitions to make it possible. And their plan is to make a mechanical – a watch with a mechanical movement that has the sensors and capabilities of a smartwatch, possibly a display too, but they didn't give us any specifics on that.
All right, and that notion is not a new thing either. Withings has already done that, although it's not like a luxury watch product like something from Tag Heuer would be.
Right. Yeah. It's a right. Yeah, there's probably actually no real comparison between what Withings is doing and what Tag will do. I'm not a huge fan of Tag personally, but I would imagine that the Tag device will end up having certainly could be an automatic watch, and I would imagine the emphasis will be on the mechanical watch as opposed to the smartwatch functions. But I don't know. We'll see.
Sure. So how does this fit in with Apple Watch?
Well, the thing that occurred to me that got us going was that back in September, Mr. Biver said that he completely dismissed the Apple Watch. He called it too feminine, said that it looked like a first trimester watchmaker had designed it, said that it wasn't sexy enough, all these sorts of comments to dismiss the Apple Watch. And it occurred to me that the Swiss watchmakers may not be capable of understanding from you know, their viewpoint is so watch-centric, it's so... traditionally centered, they may not understand that Apple is not marketing the Apple Watch to the same people that they market their devices to. Instead, Apple's making this thing to compete at the nexus of jewelry, technology, and health and fitness, which is an entirely new place to go. It's a new way of looking at the wrist.
When you say technology, you include Apple Pay.
Well, I suppose.
Right. Right.
So,
well, yeah, Apple Pay will be a feature of Apple Watch. Sure.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know, this is interesting. Apple will either be successful at redefining what that means, or they won't. Right. But it's jewelry and technology are almost diametrically opposed, right? In one very big way, jewelry is timeless, and I don't use that word to be kitschy, right? I mean, it's we're talking about watches, but a piece of jewelry, you buy it, and it's the kind of thing that often, especially the better the quality it is, the more chance that this would happen. It's the kind of thing that you would keep for a very long time and potentially even pass down to your descendants, right? An Apple Watch technology is not timeless, other than some, things that wind up in museums. But it's jewelry's intended and initial use is the thing that it winds up being used for even 200 years later, right? It has a stated use, and it often, most often, is used for that ad infinitum. Technology has a stated use, and it's used for that for, relatively speaking, a very, very short period of time, right? And so now we've got this thing that's going to take the place of jewelry or be jewelry, and I don't, it's fake it till you make it kind of thing, right? So it's a piece of jewelry that is intentionally not timeless.
Dave, I disagree with you on that. I think because Apple has hired all of these experts in fashion and luxury devices, that Apple recognizes that this device is going to have a longer life. And
you're not going to use an Apple Watch 100 years from now.
No, you're not. But it's not going to become obsolete next year like you replace your iPhone every year. I think it's going to be a device that can last for a long time and can be updated with software. And I think Apple recognizes that this device needs to be something that you can use and appreciate for a longer period of time. Because it would be rather crass of Apple to say, okay, in January of 2016, we're coming out with Apple Watch 2.0. You should throw your old one away. Your investment is lost. I don't think Apple's going to do that at all. I think they're going to take a very high-level approach.
Apple would never do that, right? I mean, they don't ask you to buy a $1,000 phone every year just to keep up with the latest stuff.
The phone is the phone. I think Apple recognizes they have to treat this watch differently.
They can wish that all they want. They can wish until the cows come home, and they will still be wishing 1,000 years from now because the cows ain't going to come home. The reality is that over the course of the next year, the technology involved is not going to stand still. Whether or not Apple wants the Apple Watch to last for, say, 3, 5, 10 years has nothing to do with the fact that the 2016 Apple Watch will have significantly higher capabilities, be it battery power, be it processing power.
Oh, it's going to race in its advancement of technology, just like the iPad Mini 3, right?
That's
way.
We were blown out of the water by the technical advances of the iPad Air 2, right?
No, I think the better comparison is going to be the first iPhone to the second iPhone,
right? Or even the first. Yeah, you're right, Brian. First iPhone to second iPhone. Yeah, even first iPad to second iPad had a pretty wide gap, but we're in it.
And second to third.
And second to third, right?
Well,
yeah.
Remember, it's power and battery power and processing power are small, so it's going to be able to extract a lot of capability from its partner iPhone.
Well, but really the thing is, no one knows how this thing's going to be used. And I think at the top of that list of no one knowing how it's going to be used is Apple. And yeah, I think they would put themselves at the top of that list saying, okay, we have some ideas about this. Obviously, they're going to channel it into the market a certain way, but if anyone has learned that you can't predict the way technology is always going to be used, it's Apple. And they've embraced that, right? The App Store exists because Apple was willing to change horses, right? Everything that Apple has done is based on, okay, they say they don't take customer feedback. Well, they don't focus group things, or at least they didn't. And I haven't heard of them doing it in recent years either, but they certainly pay attention to how people use things and then iterate and sometimes radically change their products to match that.
Well, you've exactly made my case for the next phase of the discussion, and that is how well the Swiss watchmakers will fare in their competition against Apple. And you've just made my case that Apple's going to be an awesome competitor and going to be a very tough opponent, a tougher opponent than these Swiss watchmakers ever faced in the past. And
you can take those words back out of my mouth. I won't. That is not the case I made at all.
Yeah.
Because it's a different thing. We're talking about comparing technology and jewelry, and I will maintain that the two concepts are diametrically opposed.
Yeah, but I think that Apple's going to be able to. I think that Apple's going to be able to make that achievement. Is going to be able to achieve that goal. However, we certainly need to wait to see. But the interesting thing, coming back to the Swiss watchmakers, Apple's job in large part is to get a new generation of people to consider their wrist as a technology platform for the very first time. And at the very same time, Apple is causing the Swiss watch industry, as well the Japanese watch industry, because they're slightly separate. But Apple is getting those folks to reconsider what the wrist is capable of. And it's two different. Apple's having a ripple effect. Yeah, Apple Watch is having a ripple effect in two different directions at one time, and quite frankly, I think that the results could be really exciting.
I think so too. I think Apple's got a game going here, and it's going to be a mistake to underestimate Apple. The way I see it is sort of like the Swiss watchmakers bringing along the pennies to a lightsaber fight. I mean, the level of technology, the expertise, the understanding of the customer, the marketing, the technical background of Apple, its integration and infrastructure with the phone and all its other operating systems is so sophisticated and advanced that they've got a great platform to start from.
Listen, John, I'm the last person who's going to get up on a soapbox and do anything but praise Apple's whole widget model and Apple's abilities to combine hardware and software and to exert amazing things from its total control over the entire ecosystem of what it does. But you are absolutely wrong to dismiss what these guys who have been eating, men and women, of course, who have been eating and breathing watches for generations. You were utterly wrong.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the staff meeting this morning, and I still hold my ground on that. I think people who have expertise in an area for a long, long time get too locked in. They get too arrogant. They think they know everything about it. They have historical perspective and interest, but they're not able to make that leap into the future the way Apple can and change the whole game.
Yeah, again, they're not. They're not technology companies, and they are fashion companies, right? I mean, that's what Tag and Rolex and Hublot, and I mean, all these brands are fashion brands, right? Apple could arguably be put into the fashion brand realm, but not in this way, right? They're making things that are built to last forever.
So, Brian,
and Apple is not.
Now, Brian, you hit on something a little bit ago that struck me, which is that Apple is trying to find a way to get on the wrists of people that haven't been wearing something, which that market is me.
Sure.
And
well, that market is you, but it's also the millennials and the generations in between us and the millennials. It's a large segment of the population that has not had anything on their wrist ever, or at the very least in a very long time.
Sure. So that's a market Apple is going after, clearly. Do you think that that this is a market that companies like Tag Heuer are now saying, oh, we want a piece of that as well?
Well, so Tag actually competes at the pretty near the entry level, not at the entry level, of the luxury watch market, but it's near the entry level of the luxury watch market. It's LVMH's biggest brand, certainly by volume, possibly by dollars. But one of the things that Jean-Claude Bivière has been doing is trying to make Tag even more accessible to more people. And really, that means cheaper watches. So they're already, this particular company and this particular people that are running it right now are already looking at that idea, looking at the task of bringing more people into the watch fold. I think whether or not they can actually do it, I don't know. I think that a significant percentage of the world is going to be looking at the wrist for in new ways or for the first time because of the Apple Watch.
You know, I agree with you, Brian. I think Apple, better than anyone, will make the compelling argument to convince people now to wear something on their wrist that did not wear anything before. I think the people that are going to be very difficult to convert are those that are dyed in the wool watch wearers.
Yeah,
Apple's not trying to get.
I don't think Apple is. You know, it's actually kind of funny. John is painting this picture of Cowboys versus Aliens. Was the phrase he used when we discussed it earlier.
This time the aliens are going to win.
Yeah, but that's just it. The Cowboys and aliens aren't even. They're not even showing up for the same shootout. Apple is not going after Zenith's core audience.
Well, I think what happens is that Apple has the capacity to create so much excitement that it sort of moves the needle for people. You know, you get this exciting technology. You're able to use it with Apple Pay. It's linked to your iPhone. You've got health information in it. It's going to be wrapped in such a interesting wrapper that after a few years, people are going to go, you know, I don't care about these other watches because they just seem to be so old-fashioned, and their attempts to, you know, compete against Apple are going to be perhaps sort of Byzantine and idiosyncratic, and then it's going to be unfortunate the way they compare. Now there'll be some people who are diehards, as you said,
John. I've got a story for you, Ben, and you were my ideal listener for this story. It's all about the quartz watch, right? We heard the death of the mechanical watch industry when quartz watches came out, because quartz watches are better at keeping time than mechanical watches. And
way better.
Yeah, orders of magnitude better.
I'm still wearing a quartz watch. It's just that it has hands that move.
That's so quaint and funny and cute. I don't think there could possibly be some contraction in the luxury watch market, but it ain't going away this time any more than it did as a result of the quartz revolution, and in part because mechanical watches last forever, which comes back to Dave's point. Yeah, which won't.
Well, yeah,
yeah, John, I totally understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, John.
No, I think we're out of sync on Skype here. Yeah, go, John.
In the staff meeting, I was talking about the typewriter example, about how, you know, how does a typewriter compete with an IBM PC in 1981? Well, you make it look cooler, and you dress it up, and you smooth out the action so that it doesn't jam as often. And, you know, you do all these sort of things because, you know, we've been building typewriters for 100 years, and we know better than these new guys on the block with their, you know, Apple IIs and stuff like that. So that's the way I kind of see the thing going. Right, right. And that was a very interesting perspective. Yes, yes. And that doesn't take into account the luxury part of it. Right.
Okay, Dave, your turn.
We've got massive Skype delays. Yeah, thank you. John, you're talking about tools that the user sees as attaining the same purpose, right? You're using a computer, essentially in this example, to do some word processing and output a document. You're using a typewriter to do some word processing and output a document.
Right.
The Apple Watch and a Tag or a Zenith or a Rolex or a Hublot or even a Swatch, they do. It's a different thing, right? Mm-hmm. The person is buying it for a different purpose. So the analogy doesn't stand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's valid in part because what happened was is the typewriters were so mechanical and clunky, and aside from being a tool. When you bought an IBM PC, it has this awesome, well, it wasn't such an awesome keyboard because of the way that they designed the return key. But, you had a CRT and everything was cool and smooth and modern. And by, it was not only just a tool, but it was also the appearance on your desk.
And that's
part of the luxury part of it.
You're confusing a power drill with functional art.
Yeah.
Well,
nobody's buying an Apple Watch because it tells time.
Correct.
Excellent point.
Right, but all the things that Apple Watch is going to do, the set of everything there is going to create a technology platform that's going to change the way people think, as you said, Brian, about what should be on your wrist and what it should do, and the fashion aspect of it and the utility aspect of it, and that is going to seep into our minds as a meme driving forward. And I don't know that the Swiss watchmakers can get on board with that. Technically,
there's a bet here somewhere.
Well, we don't have our iOS app. Do we have our iOS app yet that can manage our bets?
Kelly's working on it.
Yeah,
actually.
Kelly's.
Oh, cool.
On it. All right, so we are like out of time yet again. So, you two, what's the bet so that we have it recorded and out on the internet for everyone?
We'll,
to
we'll
know?
We'll have to work on that actually.
Yeah.
I think okay.
Should, but by and large, the Swiss watch industry will not collapse.
There you go. All right. So you two figure out what the bet is, and then we'll let the whole world know so that they can keep both of you honest and call it a hunch. But I think there's more to discuss here. So it's probably a pretty safe bet that Brian and I are going to be talking a little bit more about the whole Apple Watch, Tag Heuer, smartwatch world this afternoon when we record Apple Context Machine. So,
that seems a good bet.
Yeah. So once that is done, I will make sure there's a link to that in the show notes for TDO Today. And if you're not already subscribed to both TDO and Apple Context Machine, well, you should be, so that when we do crossovers like this, you don't miss out. So Dave, thank you for joining me today. And
pleasure.
And John, thank you. And Brian, thank you as well. And I'm looking forward to jumping into Apple Context Machine so that we can carry on our conversation. All right. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining in with us yet again today.
It's time for us to go.